Invite you to take your Bible and open to 1 Thessalonians, actually. It'll be the end of the book, so probably facing 2 Thessalonians. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is where we will be. The verse that will be our primary text for this morning. And looking at this instruction in everything. And before we go there, I want to preface this with a little bit of a personal comment, I guess. I know I've told a number of people over the years, and I don't know if I've ever said it up, you know, from the pulpit here or not, but the vast majority of the time when I am preaching, I'm preaching to me, and I'm letting you listen. And this morning, this message is definitely me preaching to me. So I hope you'll listen. But this is totally what God has been revealing to me and working in my heart on. And just to kind of maybe set the stage a little bit more for that, to kind of tell you maybe where I'm coming from. The last month, literally, because it was October 22nd, so literally a month, has been lousy. And I don't know if anybody else in here can relate to that, if anyone else feels like that, but it started about 8 hours after our annual church meeting ended. And those of you who were at the church meeting, you know about when that ended, so you know that was a really early start to my day, the next day. And then over the next month, it's just been kind of like, I don't know if you ever, I'm not a boxing fan, right? But if you ever watched boxing or a movie of boxing and you see a boxer just like gets hit and he's just like staggered and he's woozy and he's barely standing up and then he finally kind of rights himself and then he gets hit again. And he goes down and he kind of stumbles and he gets up and he gets hit again, right? And that's really, to be honest, kind of what the last month has been like. And the details of why and all that, it's not that significant. It's not that I need to go into all those details, but I just want you to kind of understand what this is coming out of, right? The circumstances in my life over the last month that have led me to really ponder deeply this truth in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, this instruction in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that we have. And it's really easy to just read through, right? Because it's in this list of things that Paul is giving us, and we can just kind of skim right past it, or we read it, and maybe we don't even skim past it. I mean, it registers, but we just kind of keep going. Right, but what Paul says here, if you have headings in your Bible, that above verse 12, it may say something like final instructions. Right? It's kind of, Paul is closing this letter to the church. And in verse 14, he starts with, "We urge you, brothers," and he's giving this list of things that they are encouraged to do. And then in verse 16, he gives these kind of bullet point instructions, right? He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We're going to look specifically at verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, or that's the way the ESV reads, the King James, or the New King James, which would be how I learned it growing up, says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Father, I pray as we look into your word this morning, as we consider the truth of it, the relevance of it to our lives. I pray that we would receive it. I pray that our minds and our hearts and our ears would be clearly attentive to what you have to say, that your word would penetrate deeply, that we would take it with us when we leave here this morning, continue to meditate upon it, to live it out in our lives. Thank you that you are God, and you are sovereign, and you are in control. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, 1 Thessalonians, again, 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, there's an important detail about other translations, various translations. We'll kind of come back to those that detail a little bit later, but even though I have the ESV right here, it's that King James Version, that in everything that I'm kind of focusing on or drawing from for the title this morning, in everything. Now, I want you to note very clearly, because this is extremely important, right? What Paul says here in verse 18 is in everything. In order to properly understand what that means, what Paul is getting at when he says that, we've got to make sure we clearly know what he's not saying, what he does not mean, and I want you to note this important truth. And the reality is that, I got to be honest, the number of commentators that I rely on, that I go to regularly, that I look to in preparing messages and understanding Scripture, a number of them honestly don't get this right, in my opinion, my understanding. I think they make a mistake that is very easy to make, but it's also an incredibly important truth for us to understand. Consider just a few examples, right? Matthew Poole wrote this. He says, "When we have obtained mercy by prayer, then we are to give thanks, and whatever we may pray for, that we ought to give thanks for." Well, that's true, right? But that's not what this verse says, and that's not what this verse means. Matthew Gill wrote, "Thanks are to be given to God for all things." That's not what this verse says. Albert Barnes quoted Chrysostom, who said, Chrysostom, the Archbishop of Constantinople, one of the ancient church fathers, he had been driven to exile, he'd been persecuted, he had been despised, and he died far away from everything that he was used to and familiar with and comfortable with. And he uttered his favorite motto near the end of his life, said, "Glory to God for all things." And then Barnes echoed that, and he writes, he says, "So we may praise God for everything that happens to us under his government." And I'm going to suggest to you this morning, that is not what Paul said. Because if you look at your Bible, and you look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it does not say, "Give thanks to God for everything." It doesn't say that. It says, "Give thanks to God in everything." You say, well, what difference does that make? My contention is it's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. Because Paul is not saying give thanks for everything. And I have to tell you, on the one hand, that's a relief to me, because there's an awful lot of stuff in life that I don't feel thankful for. And I guarantee you I'm not the only one in here who could say that. There's stuff that happens to us in life that I simply cannot fathom saying to God, "Thank you for that." And I don't think that that's contrary to Scripture, to be honest. Because I don't think, and I'll elaborate, let me come back to that. Let me elaborate that a little bit more. But what Paul says here is in everything, right? Now, again, I think it's a key difference. And if you're like me at all, the ability to give thanks, the probability, the inclination to give thanks is really easy when things are going well, right? When all the bills are paid and there's even still some money left over. When everybody's healthy. When, you know, things are going well at work or with the harvest or your political candidate won or, you know, whatever. When things are going the way we want them to go, giving thanks is not difficult. But you know why? Because in those situations, we're giving thanks for getting what we want. Right? When I feel good and I'm healthy and my wife is healthy and my kids are healthy, I can say to God, "Thank you, God, that we're all healthy." That's easy to do. And so when we're giving thanks to God for things that we receive, really what we're doing is we're telling God, "Thank you for making my life relatively easy, taking care of all the major problems, and things are going pretty well right now. Thank you, God. I appreciate that." That's not hard. Frankly, I don't think there would be any reason for Scripture to instruct us to do that, because that would just happen naturally, right? I mean, other than the fact that we all, in our humanness, have a tendency to not say thank you as often as we should, that's fairly natural, to say thank you when things are working out the way we want, when we get what we want. But look again here at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything, give thanks. Now, I told you I was going to reference back to the various different English translations of this verse, and I think it's important for us to notice that there is not one single reliable English translation of the Bible that translates this verse as saying for. Not one. And there's a lot of English translations of the Bible. But every one of them renders this verse, in everything, give thanks. Now, they word it differently, right? I don't know what versions you have right now. I mentioned I've got the ESV right here, and it says, give thanks in all circumstances. That's in the ESV. It's also in the NIV. There's a number of translations that word it fairly differently, but all of them say in, not for. But we could go beyond that even. Say, well, okay, so English is all that way, but let's go beyond that. In the Greek, there are about a dozen or so accepted Greek renderings, and every single one of them renders this verse exactly the same way. Every one of them has this verse beginning with the Greek word en. En, if you want to translate it, kind of the English equivalent, en. And that word in Greek is a preposition, and it means in. Specifically, it's a word that refers to a position that means inside or within. So what we could see here is that Paul is writing, give thanks within all circumstances. Give thanks inside whatever situation you may be in. Now, why am I making such a big deal about this? Because I wholeheartedly believe that God is not telling us in this verse through Paul to give thanks for every situation or circumstance we find ourselves in. Now, you may be thinking, does that matter? I mean, aren't you splitting the hair a little bit too fine here? Aren't you making a big deal over one little word? It matters. I suggest to you it matters a great deal, because there are situations and circumstances in life for which we are not thankful, and I would dare say God does not expect us to be. And you may be thinking, oh, you're getting pretty close to the edge. You better back off a little bit. You're saying that God doesn't expect me to be thankful for everything? That is my contention, yes. And we can all think of times in life, right? I mean, I go back a number of years ago now, and when I was face-to-face with an employer and they said, you're fired, I wasn't thankful for that. Go back a few years ago and we're sitting in the oncologist's office and he says, your wife has cancer. I wasn't thankful for that. Go back a couple months ago and Christina gets a phone call, your uncle just died from COVID. I'm not thankful for that. And I suggest to you that it would be contrary to the character of God to suggest that he would want me to be thankful for that. Because God doesn't expect us to give thanks for the bad stuff that happens in life. No one is thankful when they unexpectedly lose their job. No one is thankful when they're diagnosed with a serious illness. No one is thankful when they find out a friend or a loved one is engaged in serious sin. No one is thankful when they get stabbed in the back by someone they think they can trust. God does not expect us to be thankful about sin or the effects of sin. No one is thankful when they find out that their child has been molested. No one is thankful when their spouse is killed or when their home burns down. We could go on and on listing the tragedies of life. But I want to suggest to you this morning that it's not God's intention that we give thanks for that stuff. However, I do believe that God wants us to be thankful in that stuff. Now, I want to insert something here real quick. Maybe an aside that most of you don't care about, but there might be a few that do. Because there might be somebody out there thinking, right, maybe in the room, or I don't know if we're online or not, but somebody listening later, then they say, well, doesn't the Bible say to give thanks for everything? Ephesians 5:20. Doesn't Paul say, the same Paul who wrote 1 Thessalonians and Ephesians 5:20, doesn't he say to give thanks always and for everything? Well, if you want to turn there, you'll see, yeah, it does say that. So what am I talking about? How can I stand here and say that God doesn't expect us to give thanks for everything if we then turn to Ephesians 5:20 and we read that it says, give thanks always and for everything? How can I rectify or justify or explain that? Well, I might be, I don't know, maybe I'm moving out on a limb and I'm sawing it off behind me, and if so, you can take that up with me later. But I'm going to suggest to you that it is my contention, it is my absolute belief that that is not an accurate translation of that verse. And I'll tell you why. I could go on for a long time about why, but to be honest, we don't have time, and most of you, quite frankly, would get bored if I were to go on and explain all the reasons why. But I would tell you that if we were to look at the Greek language, at the Greek lexicons, at the commentaries, and so on, and we were to try to understand what Paul means there in Ephesians 5:20, I would suggest to you very briefly three reasons why I don't think that's what that verse accurately should be rendered. First, the idea of giving thanks to God for everything is not consistent with the rest of Scripture. Secondly, it's not consistent with the character of God. And thirdly, it's not consistent with the laws of language. And I'll tell you why. Because everything leaves nothing out. Nothing. Right? If we're going to use the word everything, and we're going to say that's the accurate word, that's what it means nothing is excluded. Because everything, by definition, means every single thing. I don't think that's what it means. Because, let me just give you a couple of examples. And again, I mentioned this, a number of commentators, that I don't think they really get the gist specifically accurately of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. But a number of years ago, John MacArthur wrote an article, and he identified this problem without acknowledging it was a problem. Listen to what he says, right? He said, in everything carries an unlimited requirement. It refers to everything that occurs in life, with the obvious exception of personal sin. Why is that a problem? Because everything can't have an exception. If there is an exception, then everything's not the right word. And so for somebody to say, give thanks for everything except this, well, guess what? Then it's not everything. Because that's the rub, right? Another thing to note is this, by the way. The word, the Greek word in Ephesians 5:20, if you were to go there and you study deeply into the Greek and you look at it, that specific Greek word, if you're a Greek geek, here's what you need to know. All right, it's an adjective in the genitive neuter plural. It appears 135 times in the New Testament, and nowhere else is it translated that way. Nowhere else. What are the odds that out of 135 times the same word is used, that just that once it meant that? I don't think so. So I'm going to leave my comments on Ephesians 5:20 there. And I hope what I'm saying makes sense. If you want to talk to me about that later, I'm happy to talk to you about that. But I want to go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I mentioned some examples of theologians I think miss the truth here, miss the key about this verse. Let me give you another example of somebody who missed it, but then they go back and they kind of get it right. And this is a very well-known individual, Billy Graham. A number of years ago, in his, you know, he had a thing where you could write letters and ask Billy Graham questions, and he would respond, right? And so he gave this is the question he's answering. The question says, our pastor gave a sermon recently about how we ought to thank God for everything. But how can we be thankful when bad things happen to us? I'm fighting cancer right now, and I admit I don't feel very thankful. If anything, I feel angry and depressed. And here's how Graham starts his response. Okay, he says, your pastor was right. We should be thankful to God for everything that happens to us, both good and bad. Now, you already know that's my contention. That's not what the Bible says. But here's how Graham goes on. He says, the Bible says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. That's what we're looking at right here, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18. So there, I think he's wrong, right? But then he goes and he gets it right because he continues and says this, but is this realistic or even possible? Yes, it is, once we understand why we should be thankful. Take your situation, for example. Cancer is a terrible disease, and we aren't called to be thankful for things that are evil. What? You just said, we should be thankful to God for everything that happens to us. And then you said, but we aren't called to be thankful for things that are evil. How does that work? Well, it doesn't, right? Because you can't say in everything, but not that. But here's where he gets it right. He says, but you can be thankful that God has promised to be with you even when life isn't the way you wish it were. We're never alone when we know Christ. God's promise is true. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And see, Graham there at first, he makes the same error that so many commentators and theologians make. He equates in and for, and they're different. But then he gets it right. And he says, we aren't called to be thankful for things that are evil. We're not called to give thanks for sin. We're not called to give thanks for the effects of sin. It's contrary to God's character. But I want you to hear me clearly when I say that giving thanks in is completely different than giving thanks for. Completely different. Should we give thanks for some things? Absolutely we should. That's certainly consistent with Scripture as well. And I dare say we could make a very long list of all the things we have to be thankful for. We could be here all day, and more than all day, listing all the reasons we should be thankful to God, all the things we should be thankful to God for. And truth be told, we need that reminder because sometimes we're not very good at giving thanks. There's a quote that I hang up at school every year around this time that convicts me every year when I'm putting it up. It's like I'm putting it up on the wall and I'm thinking, man, I need to do better at this. R.A. Torrey said, the failure to return thanks for definite blessings received is a manifestation of ingratitude that grieves Jesus Christ. That's true. Failure to give thanks for definite blessings received is a manifestation of ingratitude. I've got a ton of stuff to be thankful for, and so do you. But it doesn't include everything that happens in life. Because God tells us here in this verse, through Paul, give thanks in all things. So what does that mean? What does it mean to give thanks in all things? Well, quite simply, I would suggest to you it means this. That even when we're in difficult times, we still have reason to be thankful. Because the simple truth is that our thankfulness to God is not and must not be contingent on our circumstances. Our thankfulness to God is not and must not be contingent on our circumstances, which is why actually I do like the ESV and NIV rendering of this verse because it says, give thanks in all circumstances. So can I hate the fact that I got fired and still be thankful to God? Yes. Can I hate the fact that my wife had cancer and still be thankful to God? Yes. Do I have to be thankful for that? No. But I have to be thankful in that. So how does that work then? How can I be thankful while I'm in that but not thankful for that? Because I'm not giving thanks for that. I'm giving thanks to God for who He is. And the fact that He is sovereign, He's in control. Nothing happens that He doesn't allow to happen. That's what we can give thanks for. That's why we can give thanks in all circumstances, because God is God. I can give thanks for His character. I can give thanks for His love. I can give thanks for His mercy. I can give thanks for His provision, for His forgiveness, for His sovereignty. There's so much that I can give thanks for, be thankful for, even in the midst of really lousy situations. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to begin in verse 3. Peter writes this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials." We can go on from there. But that in this, verse 6, that everything that went before that, that's what we can be thankful for. That's how we can be thankful, even in the midst of really lousy stuff. Because what does it say? God caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading. It means no matter how bad life gets, nothing can take that away. Why do I know that? Because it says it's kept in heaven for me. And by God's power, it's being guarded. God's power. Not mine, not the bank, definitely not the government. God's power. I give thanks for that, even though I'm grieved by various trials. Right? And that's what it says right there. In this you rejoice, even though right now life stinks. For a little while, it says. And interestingly enough, even though, as I mentioned, I think John MacArthur gets some of that wrong on Ephesians 5:20, in his commentary he does say this, which is absolutely right. He says, "Believers' thankfulness is for who God is and what he has done through his Son." That's dead on. I give thanks for who God is. Not for the stuff going on in my life necessarily, but still for who God is. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. This is Paul writing again. 2 Corinthians 4, I want to start in verse 7. Consider this, right? This is again Paul writing. He says, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way." Can I get a witness? "But not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, 'I believed and so I spoke,' we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that the grace extends to more and more people. It may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Verse 17 of that chapter, when we're in that moment, when we're in that situation, Life stinks. I don't look at it and think, yeah, this is a light momentary affliction. That's not my mindset. That's not my attitude. Because in the moment, it's heavy. It's not going away. I can't do anything about it. It hurts. I want it to be over. But what does Paul say? It's preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And here, verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 4, here's why we can give thanks in all circumstances. What does it say? Don't look at the things that are seen. If my focus is on the things that are seen, I'm not going to feel thankful. If my focus is on you're fired, I'm not thankful. If my focus is on you have cancer, I'm not thankful. If my focus is on fill in the blank with whatever light momentary affliction you might be in, if that's my focus, if that's where my eyes are, if that's what has consumed me completely, I won't be thankful. But what does he say? Don't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Now you may be thinking, how's that work? How do you look at stuff you can't see? He doesn't mean look literally, right? He means focus. Let that be where your mind rests. Let that be where your attention goes. Let that be what is consuming you. Because the things that are seen are transient. They go away. They're temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. What are the things that are unseen? It's that stuff we just looked at in 1 Peter 1. I'm born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, to an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for me. I can't see it. I can't go to the bank and ask them to produce a certificate, but I know it's there. Give thanks in everything, Paul says. I can do that. I can give thanks in the difficulties of life, whatever it is that I'm experiencing, because I know that God in his sovereignty, even though I might not understand it, I know that God in his sovereignty is allowing that to happen, and it will only to continue to happen as long as he allows it to happen. And regardless of how terrible and painful in the moment it is, he has promised he will work all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I got to tell you, sometimes when I look at the situation I'm in, I'm like, God, there is no way you can use this for good. But that's not what his word says. It does not say, thank God. It does not say, hopefully God can work all this together for good. If God has enough time and enough spare parts, he might be able to make something workable out of that. No, God makes all things. There, that word is the right one. There's nothing excluded. All things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Why should I give thanks in everything? That's why. Because God is God, and he's in control, and he's sovereign, and he knows what he is doing. Go back to this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. And he doesn't even just leave it at that. He then says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Again, if you're anything like me, there have been lots of times in your life where you've thought, I just wish I knew what God's will was. Well, guess what? There it is in black and white. That phrase appears three times in the New Testament. This is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Go to the preceding chapter. It says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. We don't have to question that. We never have to wonder, should I abstain from sexual immorality? I wonder what God thinks. Duh. Yes. It says it right there. 1 Peter 2:15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Man, I wish I could put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. But that's what it says right there. This is the will of God. Do good. And then here we see it again the third time, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. By the way, it's not just this give thanks part. It includes 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Do you comprehend the significance of that? I'm not suggesting that those three passages encapsulate the entirety of God's will for us. Certainly not. But those are the only three times in Scripture where it specifically says, this is the will of God. Do this. It means there's no wiggle room. There's no room for confusion. We never have to wonder, I wish I knew what the will of God was. He tells us right there. It's explicit. It's specific. We know indisputably this is God's will. I need to finish. Go for it. If you want a song, let me just conclude with this, right? And if you're anything like me, and I keep saying that, and thank God you're not like me, right? But if you have any similarities to me, then sometimes when you're in these difficult times, songs is where you go. The encouragement of different lyrics. Hopefully they're good songs and good lyrics, but there's a song, and I can't even remember who sings it. I was asking Christina last night. I think it's a Southern gospel song, but there's a line in it that says, when you can't see his hand, trust his heart. When I can't see God at work, when I'm like, God, how are you going to make that work? I can still trust his heart. You want another example of a song that to me is simultaneously encouraging and convicting. And there's a duo of guys called Shane and Shane. Really easy to remember, right? Shane and Shane. Go check out their song called Though You Slay Me. Comes right out of Job, right? Job says, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Was Job thankful for what he was going through? I doubt it. But he was still thankful because of who God was. Because he knew God. He trusted God. He refused to allow his circumstances to change his understanding of God's character. We're going to close in a minute. We're going to sing a hymn. It's an old one. It was written over 450 years ago. When we sing it, I hope we always are thinking about what we sing, but I want you to pay particular attention to the third and fourth stanza. It says, O enter then his gates with joy, within his courts his praise proclaim. Let thankful songs your tongues employ, and bless and magnify his name. Because the Lord, our God, is good. His mercy is forever sure. His faithfulness at all times stood and shall from age to age endure. That's how we can give thanks in all circumstances. Because we know who God is. We know the character of God. His word reveals to us who he is. I can't give thanks for everything. I can't. But I can give thanks in everything. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its relevance to our lives. We thank you for the reminder this morning of your goodness, your mercy, your sovereignty, your grace, your love, your forgiveness. So much that we could go on and on describing who you are. And just personally, I'm so thankful for the truth of your word and the stronghold that it is in the difficult times of life. That even when we're in situations that don't make sense and we don't know how it will make sense, thankfully you've not ever instructed us that we have to figure it out. So may we, in the midst of difficulty, in whatever circumstances we're in, may we look to you. May you be the focus of our minds, of our hearts. May we find strength and encouragement and comfort in the truth of who you are. And in the words of another song, when we turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Thank you so much for that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take our hymnals and stand together and sing number 20. All people that on earth do dwell, we'll stand and then we'll remain standing for the benediction, number 20. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with fear, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. The Lord ye know is God indeed. Without our aid he did us make. We are his flock, he doth us feed. And for his sheep he doth us take. Oh, enter in his gates with praise. Approach with joy his courts unto. Praise Lord and bless his name always. For it is seemly so to do. For wide the Lord our God is good, his mercy is forever sure, his truth at all times firmly stood, and shall from age to age endure. To Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the God whom heaven and earth adore, from earth and from the angel host, be praise and glory evermore.
I want to close with the words of Jesus. John 16:33, he says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen.